A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. In that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. A reading from the poet Alice Walker. "I'm telling you, discouraged ones, we will win. And I'll show you why. We are the offspring of the ignorantly discarded. We conjure sunrise with our smiles and provoke music out of trash. Who can completely disappear such genius? This is why humanity is worth loving, fiercely, passionately, without a moment of holding back. I used to think it was only Africans I loved so dangerously. Then I thought it was Indians, then Mexicans, Vietnamese, Guatemalans, Cambodians, Laotians, Nicaraguans, Cubans, Haitians, Salvadorians, all those dear ones so endlessly lied about. But no, it is all of us. It is humanity. We are special. If you don't believe me, take the time to awaken and truly witness yourself." Truth and power in the gospel is always a disturbing and disorienting thing for me. Truth in the gospel of Jesus is always a living thing. It's never facts. It's never data. It's never a judge standing behind stuff and saying, "Well, that's not the truth. This is the truth." Jesus says, "I am the truth." And then summons us into an encounter, a self-authenticating encounter in relationship. He doesn't point to theological abstractions of omnipotence and transcendence when it comes to the divine. He summons us to the intimacy of encounter. And power in the life of Jesus, it's totally disorienting. Particularly for those of us who grew up in the shadow of the industrialized military complexes of Western empires. And we see at the beginning of Jesus' ministry that he can walk on water. Now that's power, isn't it? But at the end, he cannot carry his own cross. And it's there. There we're summoned to be invited into the truth that this is the culmination of the power of God. Power turned upside down. Power that is disorienting, like that of turning the other cheek. Like that of laying our lives down. Like that that summons us to give all of our possessions to the poor and live in liberation. Power is never absolute control from the outside in the Gospels. It is always love in action, love in suffering, love in the face of overwhelming odds, love in violence. In our journey through the season of Lent, we continue to hold up and are being confronted with these different narratives, this counter-narrative of power and truth, these alternative symbols that disrupt us, that disorient our own lives. And this was almost impossible for those that were around Jesus to grasp. And I want to say, is it any different for us? Because those around Jesus were banking on the fact that he would seize power, real power, the throne of David, return all of their status to them. Again, as a nation that has had the boot of an empire upon their neck, they've had enough of it. We see this played out over and over, folks that were tempting, wanting Jesus to be something that he was not. We see this, and we will see it played out in a few weeks when those that cried out, Hosanna, threw their very clothes down. There's a red carpet for him to come into Jerusalem. 5 days later would scream, crucify him. In the text this morning, Jesus has turned his face towards Jerusalem and is on a journey there. The word journey is used 88 times in Luke. I think this is a marker that says Jesus is turning in a direction towards Jerusalem and is becoming something in this place that he cannot lose sight of. That he's becoming who he is and who he is called to be. He has left the safety of Galilee and is headed in a direction of the citadel of faith, the political and religious seat of the Jews, a place where there was hope and aspiration. And along the way, the Pharisees come up to Jesus and say to him that Herod, this Roman-appointed king of the Jews, this puppet dictator, was planning on killing him. Well, he'd already killed John the Baptist, beheaded him. And this, among other nefarious actions, were to send a signal to Jesus that this backwater uprising should be squelched, that the real power lay in Rome, not in Galilee, in Jerusalem, not in Nazareth. And Herod was assuming that he had Jesus on a leash, and he was yanking it a bit in this text. And Jesus says the strangest thing. He calls Herod a fox. He says, tell that fox that I'm casting out demons and that I'm performing cures today and tomorrow. Heck, tip your waitresses. I'll be here all week, Jesus says in the Greek, right? I'm not going anywhere. I will not be intimidated. I've got a task, I've got a direction, and I'm heading into that. And then this lament, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you up like chicks underneath my wings, but you were unwilling. Jesus describes Herod as a fox and then compares himself to a hen. This impending showdown, it's not a great image. If I was an ad agency exec helping Jesus out, I might suggest he pick another animal, right? Just let me help you out a little, Jesus. How about a lion? No, a barnyard animal? Okay, how about a Brahma bull? How about a Brahma? No, a fowl? Okay, if you're going to go with a fowl, can we at least stick to a rooster? Those dudes are mean. Can we stick to a rooster? They have talons and big beaks and they're little nuts. How about a rooster? Jesus says a hen. As I look at it and I think about much of Christian history, we have had an attempt to pretend that he said either Brahma bull or lion or rooster. It's not quite the smackdown that I'm wanting Jesus to lay on Herod. To evoke against the powers. A fox is crafty, predatorial. A hen is weak, maternal. When a fox gets into the hen house, it's a wrap, folks. It's a lot of dead things and feathers laying around. After all, as Barbara Brown Taylor says, Jesus has disciples. Herod has soldiers. Jesus serves. Herod rules. Jesus prays for his enemies. Herod kills his. It's not a fair fight. In all of Jesus' life, he points to an alternative power, a totally different assumption, different symbols, disorienting, disrupting. And I understand it is not uncommon in the terrible event of a barn fire for the charred body of a dead hen to be found shielding at least a couple of its chicks that might still remain alive. She literally gives her life for the life of her chicks. And Jesus in the text today is telling Herod, this fox loosed in the hen house, that he will not be thwarted, that he will not be intimidated by violence, by threat, by a world that has come of age and wishes to exact its own intimidation on those that are vulnerable and afraid. Something odd is happening here. It's almost as if Jesus is saying to Herod, actually, the hen is in the fox house. The hen is in the fox house. We will not be intimidated. We will not take up arms and play these political games. We will stand and we will cover and we will die and we will love. This image of Jesus covering the most vulnerable against the religious and political and social exposure of vulnerability. Jesus uses this feminine images of God that covers and protects, the feminine image of God in her maternal ability to shield vulnerable children against all these overwhelming odds of death and violence. There's something strange happening here. This mother hen seems undaunted, will not back down in the face of violence. Jesus has disciples. Herod has soldiers. Jesus serves. Herod rules. Jesus prays for his enemy. Herod kills his. This is a hard lesson for us to learn, but is the only way of love. I think about the Christians huddled in the middle of the Circus Maximus with 100,000 screaming Roman soldiers wanting their martyrdom. The monks, when the Vikings invaded and raped and slaughtered Iona. The Red Orchestra, a women's resistance group that defied Hitler. Gandhi, not the British Empire. Ella Baker and Fannie Lou Hamer, not the Mississippi or Alabama National Guard. I think of the Palestinian children in the face of the fifth largest military force in the world. I think of all those who now would stand against Islamophobia, white supremacy, white nationalism, homophobia. I think of Abdul Aziz, this one that left his own children in New Zealand as a hen in a fox house covering those in a sanctuary that would be slaughtered. Oh, folks, the hen is in the fox house. And the power of love looks so weak compared to the power of violence. Nefarious forces of evil that roam free in this world. And it's almost as if you cannot kill enough Christians in Rome to overcome the strange power of love, that you cannot execute enough protesters standing in solidarity with the marginalized, that you can't jail enough civil rights demonstrators, you can't shoot enough Muslim children and adults to overcome the power of justice, which looks like love politically. We are well aware that there has been an evil that has been loosed on this world, and the fox would want the hen to kowtow, to become intimidated, to move, and to not move into the direction of the vulnerable. But the disorienting movement of Jesus tells us that this is our only move. We cannot step back, we cannot step down. But Christians, those that follow the way of God in this world, will always be found attempting to cover those that are vulnerable. Give their lives for those that don't have. Give the lives for those that are exposed. Particularly those that claim Jesus as Savior. To live faithfully in this world is to live among the dispossessed, those that are devalued and dehumanized. I got to tell you, I don't understand this kind of love. I want a love that makes me feel good, that gets me out of this world, does not place me in the violence of it and says, this is reality. This is reality that we live in. There is no safe place to hide. In fact, we are exposed. Will we find ourselves in the middle of this world loving and covering? I don't know if I will ever understand this kind of love, this kind of love that empties itself and gives itself away. But I do know that this kind of love that Christ calls us to is not just another dogmatic belief system that attempts to control people and their behaviors. I do know that I am compelled by the love of God incarnate, this human that humbly walks to the cross, choosing deliberately not to kind of claim a power and a privilege, but that stands with arms wide open and says, "Not my will, but thy will be done." This is the kind of love that God requires of us in this time and in this world. And Jesus, looking at Jerusalem, this place of the religious center, it's not missed on me. It should not be missed on you. That many times places of religious seats can actually be places that kill prophets. In fact, Jesus says a prophet doesn't get killed outside of religious structures. The question is will we stand in the place and become a sanctuary that covers? A community that lives in our world as a sanctuary? Will we be found among the vulnerable, the dispossessed, the disinherited? Or will we retract into our own white privilege, our own spaces of overabundance, and run the clock out of our lives, thinking that we are being faithful to the gospel? Oh, may love find us in a place of deep disorientation, deep love in our city, with the disinherited, the dispossessed, those that look and act different than us, those that believe different than us. Will we be found among them, loving, covering, giving our lives? That is truth and power in action. May it be so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.